Good evening and welcome to the third session on impact. In February last year, I was asked by Anthea to join with Georgina and Ali to talk on identity, intimacy, and she asked me to tackle the subject of impact. And this evening, I'm going to go through the same story that I went through. That one. So here we go. Now, please bear with me. I'm not used to normally public speaking. I'm normally the guy that is normally in the background supporting whatever's going on, etc. So I'm normally when I first started at coming to St. Paul's, it was up at the back at the audio desk and helping out with junior church. So bear with me. So before starting to talk about impact, I'd like to show you two pictures that I've got. This is the first picture that I've got up on the screen, which is your two chairs in front of the fireplace, where you've probably see two people just sitting there talking over the day in the warmth, in the calm. And I'll explain these to you when I've actually gone through impact, and I'll be sharing some of my testimony with you. And the other one that I have is this one, which is one of my favourite places. But again, I'll explain these to you once I've gone through impact. So, when asked to talk about impact, now, with me, in the past, etc., it's normally me in control. After attending the European School for Natural Ministry, I started to learn that hand it over to God. First thing is, when you're lost for things of what to actually talk about, hand it over to God. So the following thoughts went through my mind. Well, what is my identity? And obviously we've gone through what our identity is, knowing yourself. And what is intimacy? Well, it's talking to people, having a relationship. And then we're down to impact. Now, my other thoughts are, how do you follow identity, intimacy with good old impact? So, as I said, I sat there and thought. I asked God in my quiet times, my intimacy with him, talking to him and saying, what do you want me to talk about? And it took some time working out how. Now, one of the things that has been very hard, it's taken time for me, is when God used to talk to me, I used to think, it's going to be a normal conversation. And things changed around about 2 years ago, where it was like pictures that he would give me or figures that would come through. And he came across with this one, and it's just I know what it means. What does it mean to anyone else? Obviously, Keith knows what this one. And he also gave me this picture of, some ball bearings on a string, one's impacting the other. So again, what does this have to do with impact? Now, I remember I'm an engineer by trade, so I'm a computer engineer. But I'm not just a computer engineer. I've been trained up through being an electronics engineer, an electrical engineer, mechanics as well. So I knew sort of where he was guiding me to. So I've done the experiments, I've worked through things. But again, what does this have to do with identity, intimacy and impact? Now back to my textbooks. What's the meaning? Now, force equals mass times acceleration. So it's Newton's second law of motion. And when I actually read what the definition was, it was like, well, hold on a minute, there's something here. And the law states that the relationship between an object's mass is acceleration, and then you get the applied force. Now, acceleration and force are vectors, like directions that you're going in. And in this law, the direction of the force is the same direction as the acceleration that you've got. So, again, what was God trying to tell me? Sat there and prayed, asked for a bit more. And this is what he provided. He was saying, James, well, you've got a relationship between the mass and the acceleration. And that is what your impact is. That is what I'm trying to say to you. But let's break it down. So what is the mass? What is he saying is the mass? Well, what you're saying to me is, well, the mass is you. It's other people as well. So you need to start there. You need to start as looking at yourself. Other people need to be looking at themselves, looking at their identity, what they are. So he was asking me to look at, well, who are you? How do you work? How are you made? And especially, how are you loved? So he was saying to me that, well, okay, the mass is you, and the mass is also your identity. That is the first part of the equation. It's how you are, how you work, what you're made of, and also how you're loved. Now, what's the other part of the equation, the acceleration? Well, first thing that I come up with when you look at letter A, well, what is the start? What is the beginning? Who do you look at as the very first person you should go to? Well, that's God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Now, so for us to have any acceleration, we need to have a relationship with God. We need to have our intimacy times. We need to have that A in our life to be impacted more, accelerated more, spending more time with him, loving him as he loves us, getting to know him. Also getting to know other people on that journey as well. To spend time talking and praying. So, acceleration is our intimacy, which also has an effect on our mass, our identity. And in turn, this will have the impact, whether it's on us or on those we're around. Now, if we have a look back at the picture where we've got the pink ball, it's actually having an impact on all the other balls as and when it goes, and it actually accelerates the other ones, actually makes them grow. So that was my picture of what to say about impact. To say that in order for you to have an impact, to have that force in the world, you need to have a look at your mass, you, your identity, who you are, how you work. And when that's applied with the acceleration, your relationship, your intimacy with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, you never know what can happen. Now, having a look at the picture that I was given and also the equation that I was given, now I knew it was Newton's second law of motion as that equation, but I didn't know what the picture was. I had to go and have a look and do my usual Google search of, well, hold a minute, I've seen that contraption before. But it's called Newton's cradle. So that's where I got to with impact. Now, obviously with impact, I can talk about impact. But in order to show you we've gone through some of the theory of impact, I'd like to share with you something in the real world, something practical. And that will be me sharing some of my story of me growing up and how things have impacted me through the people that I have in my family, and how things have changed for me over the years. So, on with my testimony. Now, as you probably know, I've got my younger brother here with me. I've also got my wife, my daughter over there, my son up the back, my daughter-in-law there as well. So they know everything I'm going to talk about. Sister-in-law, sorry. They know what I'm going to be talking about. So, now, my family life changed at the age of 9 with the death of my father. So, very young to lose your father. And from that very day, my view of a father role changed. Life was me, my brother, and my mother. And we continued as families do. Now, after a few years, my mother remarried, restoring our family to a mum and dad, 2 children. But with this father, though, it brought moments of anger, fights that produced fear, and the role that I had was not as a brother, but as like a protector. Felt I needed to be, the big brother that always looked after my brother. Now, a few years later, my mother took a stand against this, and then we became 3 again. But obviously that had an impact on me, where I now became part father stroke brother in my responsibility within the family, within my role, within my family. I'd look after Mark as mum had to go back to work. So there was, majority of the time was us two letting ourselves in at home and looking after ourselves until mum got back. And then it changed again. And Mark met Georgina, but instead of me and my brother being friends, etc. It was like I was having a brother and a sister to watch over. So as you can see, my view of being a father was not one of love and care, but of one of responsibility, expectation, being in control as well. Now, God had a plan here, and this came in two experiences. Now, the first experience was I'd just finished university. I was out at work. Mark was at university. And he was off to youth camp. He said, well, come on, come down and help us out. You're having a tough time at work, etc. You're out from university. It doesn't seem to be going too well for you at the minute. So why not come down to Milton Abbey down in Somerset? We're doing a youth camp, just help out and see how things go. Now, when I was down there, I met a gentleman by the name of Mike. And Mike took me underneath his wing, and we talked through some of the issues I was having and where I was. And this was like my first glimpse of God reaching out to me and bringing me back, having an impact on me. And at the end of that camp, I actually gave myself back to God, actually went through and actually offered myself and said, I want to be back in intimacy and contact with you. Now, one of the things that keeps coming up every time I look through my Bible or I talk through things with people, and even during Bible studies, is the one thing that my brother wrote in the Bible that I have down at my feet at the moment. And he wrote a passage that just blew my mind. And it was from Matthew 7, verses 7, 1 to 12, which was, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his sons ask for bread, will give you a stone, give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Son in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. So, but the amazing thing was, it wasn't just your verse. Everyone that wanted to write a message within my Bible, they actually referenced that as well. So, here we go. So now for the second glimpse that I had, and this came to do with the European School of Supernatural Life. Now this is where I saw a major change in Mark. And it sparked a different view of love from a father. My brother opened the door there as a gift to release me from being the father-brother to being just the brother. And after 2 years of actually going to the evening school, down at the European School of Supernatural Life, I've gone through and learnt my identity, who I am. I'm comfortable with myself. And I know I'm loved by a Father that will never stop loving me, whatever happens. Now, knowing this one thing, that I am loved, has helped me as a father to Lauren and Ben. To love them no matter what. To be there for them in whatever they do in life, as my Father is for me. And it's not just my earthly father that I lost at the age of 9, it's my Heavenly Father is my Father. Now, European School for Supernatural Life, I've gone through, growing leaders when we were here, house group, Freedom in Christ, and now the Sozo. These have all helped me to grow, to know the Father that I have missed and had thought of missing for most of my life. And what it brings to mind is the words of one song that I have, which is The Good, Good Father by Chris Tomlin. And it doesn't matter how many times I hear it, it just resonates with me every single time. So if I just read the first verse or so to you. I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. You tell me that you're pleased, and I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. And it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide. But I know we're all searching for answers only you provide. Because you know just what you need before we say a word. Now that was my testimony that I wrote in February. Last year. And a year on now, God's taken me on, like, as you're probably aware of, I run. I'm always running, I'm always accelerating, should we say. And I've been on a running journey with God at the moment. And he's shown me the beauty around me in the early mornings. These are early morning runs. These are when you wake up and it's pitch black. So I've gone through the night, then into the dawn, and then into the day. And when you're running in the night, it reminds you of the fear, the darkness, the loneliness of the world sometimes. But then you get the break of that dawn, the break of the sun as it comes over the horizon, the warmth and the love of that first light and the new beginning of the day. And then you go through into the day and you get the blue skies and you see people appear, the hope and the peace. And the good mornings of those is that you pass. And God has also returned me to the past of where I was at the age of 9 when we were going through the difficulties. And I hear his voice and his meanings of what at the time I didn't know it was him. I can now hear him in the music that I listen to as I run, which is back to what I was listening to in the early years of my life from the ages of 9, because obviously you're in the 80s. And that is all coming back at the moment. My daughter will sit there and go, have you heard this one? Or Ben will sit there and go, have you heard this one? Yes, I was listening to that at your age. And all I can say is, just to finish on that, is you need to keep your ears listening, as you never know when he's going to speak to you. It might be related to your identity. It could be God wanting to ask for your intimacy. But I can guarantee whatever it is going to make an impact on you. And not just to you, because it doesn't just have an impact on to you, it's to everyone around you, because you're going to have an impact on everyone else. Now, when I did this talk in February last year, there was another impact to me, because one of the things that happened was we'd gone through doing obviously done the identity bit in the morning, we'd done the intimacy, and then we'd done the impact in the afternoon. And I was very nervous as I went through doing the talk. And Georgina had asked us to write down during our intimacy time what God was saying to us. And I read this over and over again when I'm actually being asked to talk to people. Doesn't matter where I'm doing it, I still read through this. And I just wanted to share it with you. And what God was saying to me is, James, do not worry. I am here, always by your side. Let me talk. Let me guide. You may feel nervous, inadequate to the task. But do not worry. You will see impact. You will shine. You will love. You will grow to this. Stretch and reach for me. Hold me close in your heart. Let the nerves fade. Let the warmth glow. You are safe. Learn, stretch, grow, shine. Share my vision. Share the impact I've had on you. Impact and grow to the next place. Impact others as I have impacted you. I love you. You are my son, and I'm your father. No barriers stand in my way. Let me lift you, guide you. Have peace. Enjoy. Love the moments. Talk from the heart that is filled with my love. Love your Father God. And that had an impact. And just to end, when we went part of the identity and intimacy and the impact was part of the SOZO course that Anthea asked me to be part of. And as part of the SOZO course, we had to go and do our SOZO. And I was given two pictures as I was going through my SOZO of my safe places, the places that I would go to meet with God. And the first one is this picture here, where God is sitting in one chair, I'm sitting next to him, we're both sitting there and we're just talking about the day. And in my quiet times I can just sit there and I can go back to this place. And this one is where whenever I go to this place, which is down in Dorset, down on the beach, whenever we're down there, it doesn't matter what is going on in our lives. Doesn't matter where things have gone wrong or if we're having a rough time, whenever we're down there with the family, it's just magic. And again, whenever I'm in prayer time, etc., this is where I actually end up, walking across this beach hand in hand.